This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
A good opening question is, when we talk about geoengineering, what are we talking about?
Well, it's a wonderful question, because what we're really talking about is a highly classified project that is told to the people around the world in headlines and the occasional minuscule geoengineering article. We're told that this is just about a bit of climate modification, weather modification, if we need more rain, if there's a bit of chemicals in the air to help with the weather and keeping it friendly and, taking care of our crops, et cetera. No, that couldn't be further from the truth. The other one, the other lie, is the climate change, global warming lie, which says that because of our cars and because of, we're always blamed. It's always the people that are at fault, and military is never mentioned. We have this problem of carbons. We have this problem of the pollution that seems to be necessary, the particulates that are now in the air are needed for weather modification, and blah blah blah. And the problem is that the public never hears the truth about it. And that's where I was in 2005 when I met at a breakfast the scientist that I didn't know it then, but that I would probably be friends with and work with on some level for the rest of my life. And Clifford Carnicum was working on this. He was an independent scientist. He had worked for the Department of Defense as a consultant, an IT computer consultant. And now he was on his own, and he was collecting detritus that was falling from the skies in northern New Mexico, which is basically high desert. And the skies there are known for being beautiful, azure blue, at least they used to be. And what was happening is, in the stratosphere, some jets were flying, not just military jets. It was actually a lot of commercial jets, or seemingly commercial. And they were leaving behind them the usual trails. There were the contrails, condensation trails. But those are very short trails that actually start a few feet from the engine compartment coming out, and then they dissipate very rapidly, I'd say within 30 seconds at the most. But there was another thing coming out the backs of these jets, and he noticed it because he was a trained university chemist. And so he saw chemical signatures coming out. So now he was interested. And he collected different precipitations there in the high desert and put them under his microscope, and then used petri dishes and various compounds in order to figure out what the chemistry was in these trails. And that's when he got very interested. He decided to add a Van de Graaff, I think that's how you say it, atmospheric test implement in order to see what was going on in the atmosphere. And all of this from the late 90s to when I met him, he had finally found in some of the detritus that he was collecting these very strange filaments. And they were long, and they were dark, and they were very thin, very narrow. And he began to try to break into them to see, because he recognized that they were made from polymers. And he thought, well, probably there's something inside this polymer. So he eventually found something that got the world's attention right away, or at least in the United States, a thing that was called Morgellons. And the Morgellons was a some sort of synthetic biology creature that seemed to have been engineered, bioengineered. He began to try to collect people's saliva in order to see if it was in the digestive tract. And then he also then began to collect blood samples. And he eventually realized that this was actually, an engineered, a bioengineered synthetic biology creature, and perhaps machine that looked like a creature. He really wasn't certain. And thus began for him about 25 years of research that he tried to get the attention of the American military and the CDC and the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and various agencies in order to check his work and see if he was on the right track. But what happened instead is that he was sort of marginalized, very quietly so, and he had at that time on his computer something that would tell him who had visited his site, carnicominstitute.org at that time, or .com at that time, and now it's .org. And what he discovered is that all the so-called alphabet agencies in the American government, including the CIA, the FBI, the usuals, and then all of the ones that had to do with weather or climate or space, were hitting his site on a daily level to see what he had come up with. And this seemed strange to him in that the CDC was one of the ones and that he had tried to contact them multiple times, but they had never responded to him. It was as though they never even got the things he was sending them. So he got very interested in that he was being carefully watched, but told nothing. And that's about when I met him, in order and realized that that I had studied the chemtrails and HARP, the High Frequency Active Aurora Research Project, up in Gakona, Alaska. HARP is a very sophisticated a few miles of phased array antennas. It has tremendous power beyond belief, and it was actually involved in some sort of global warming. It was warming the atmosphere. It was a military project that I was surprised to discover the first owners of the patents had been the CIA, and then from there. It had passed to a couple of corporations, two which are still very highly involved in this classified project, are Raytheon and Lockheed Martin. So, I began to research it because I was writing a set of books, didn't know it was a set of books yet, but based on fiction. But really historical work in a fiction format, sort of like the Russian authors do, in looking at what had happened to America since John Kennedy's assassination in Dallas. So I had a few files on these things. And when I met Clifford, I certainly didn't know that they were connected. I didn't know that HARP had to do with the chemtrails, for example, how ignorant I was. Ignorant because, this is a classified project and they don't really want the taxpayer to think much about it. They just want the taxpayer to give their money over for whatever this classified project needs. So now I began to really get interested, especially when we put my blood on a slide under the microscope and I watched as this entity inside the polymer fiber that it had been in, I watched it suck the iron out of my red blood cells. And as it did, my red blood cells pancaked into what now is called a rouleau formation. And I realized, oh my gosh, this, if it's been loosed in the atmosphere, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that it's in everybody. It's in everybody. And that's when I got very interested in what Clifford was doing.
When we talk about chemtrails and contrails, how do we, you did briefly mention it, but if I look up in the sky, mm-hmm. what are the telltale signs of the differences?
Well, it's kind of easy now because you would, the only jets you will see might be that have contrails, really, water condensation, particulate matter, and ice crystals. The only ones you'll see with contrails are perhaps an executive jet now and then. Otherwise, or a private jet, another private jet. You will not see any big jets without chemicals in the fuel. That is absolutely will not be seen. So what you'll see instead is coming straight out of the engine compartment, not with any 3 feet before, you will see very cloudy looking, heavy looking sometimes, long trails. And the long trail will go across the sky and slowly over time, and it could take a few hours, depending on what's in that chemical composition of the trail, that it will dissipate out and become what we now, everybody sees everywhere. I don't know about South Africa, but everywhere else I talk to, we'll see a cloud cover that looks kind of like a cirrus cloud cover, like what we used to call cirrus clouds, but is actually a chemical cloud cover. And it is not, it has, I don't care how big the cloud is or how dark it is or anything, it's actually not the same composition at all that it used to be when we had clouds. When I was a kid, you know, and I would watch a lie in the meadows on my grandparents' farm and watch the clouds and make pictures in my head and that sort of thing. The clouds we see now are really plasma clouds. They're created. They're man-made. And they're man-made with chemicals that and particulates. We now know that those are nanoparticulates. They're nano-sized. And that means a nanometer in measurement terms is 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. So we're talking very tiny. And these nanoparticles, they're not just particles necessarily, though a lot are, and a lot are sort of natural particles that are in the upper atmosphere and maybe coming down from space. I mean, that's true. But there is another type of particle in it now that we now know is nanotechnology. And it has a purpose. It was made for certain purposes. And there are many types of nanotechnologies. And that can be in the chemtrail, the chemical trail. And by the way, the term chemtrail is the CIA that runs our media in America, makes it sound like you're a conspiracy nut. But the truth is that word chemtrail comes from the U.S. Air Force Academy on their chemical manuals of 1990. They had the word chemtrails, and they were teaching their pilots to be about what was going to be loosed over population areas. And that's why they're called chemtrails. So you in the chemtrail, you've got nanoparticles, nanotechnologies, so-called other chemicals, like from the periodic table, you've got barium, strontium, chromium, strontium, did I say that? And you've got all these different chemicals that have different effects on the atmosphere. And many of those effects have to do with military grade technologies that they are using as implements of war. And they also use electromagnetism from the Earth in general. So you've got lasers coming up. You've got radar coming up, affecting and impacting these chemtrails as they're spreading out over population areas. And then another thing that's very important that are in these is the fact that I'm talking about the periodic table. So, hey, I'm talking about metals. I'm talking about tiny, tiny, tiny increments of various metals that are going into our breathing, into our water table, into the, in America, everything's GMO, genetically modified fields in what we call agribusiness. The food supply is completely tainted and making us sick. And of course, no one is told about it. So these chemical trails are packed full. The one thing that I had not realized was that, wow, Big Pharma, which is what we call the pharmaceutical industry here, is actually running all the chemicals that are loosed from the sky. Wow, wait a minute. Big Pharma is also has almost every American on some drug or other, and sometimes multiple drugs. And Big Pharma was behind the production of what we now know is biological warfare implements that look like vaccines, but are not vaccines. So I began to slowly realize the power, not just of the military that was running this geoengineering operation, along with NOAA, NASA, and, you know, the usual initials, agencies of the American government, but and NATO, by the way, and NATO. Is South Africa a NATO member?
No, we are part of BRICS.
That is so good. That is so good. All right. So that answers your question about the chemical trails. But what happened was immediately at that time, and now they're normalizing it, as you can see. But they're normalizing it in a very controlled manner, and we can talk about that. What was happening back then was, oh, just nonsense. Oh, that's just jets, you know. Why did the jet turn around in the middle of the air and make a big loop? Oh, well, you know, maybe he forgot something important at the airport. I mean, it was really ridiculous that they were trying to explain all these trails in the sky. Like you mentioned about you and geoengineering and your mixed feelings about it, about studying it, I understand that because the disinformation and the mind control programming for everyone to just look away, just get distracted, you know, think about what's going on in Hollywood, think about what's going on wherever, was intense. And whenever you see that, you know the intelligence agencies are extremely involved in this and trying madly to cover up any type of actual cognitive attention being paid to a very, very important undercover, some sort of psyop. It calls out all the dogs of war in order to cover it up and make it look like, you know, oh, it's just, you know, it's just jet traffic. It's just a lot of people are flying these days. You know, I mean, it's really ridiculous.
You mentioned Hollywood, so let me just quickly segue there. There was that big fire. Now, how much of that sort of thing do you think is connected to geoengineering?
Oh, it's all geoengineered. One of the ways you can tell is if it makes the big press around the world, It is definitely man-made. It's definitely a psyop. It has multiple purposes. I mean, it's not certainly not told just for news. It's actually warning certain people who of means, I would say, particularly this one, because the first thing that was hit in California in this spate of fires was Palisades, which is known to house many millionaires and billionaires of Hollywood. So it was saying to them, you know, just because you're rich, don't think you're safe. You know, you have to do what we say. I mean, it's a political tool, this geoengineered fires, but it's also how they're going to do real estate, how they're going to take real estate, how they're going to move populations around so that they can take real estate. It has, and interestingly enough, I'll just mention it, but it's, you know, takes too much time to explain all of it. But nanotechnology is very involved in these fires. The ability to decide to burn one house and not another next door is about much more than just frequency. It's also about how it was decided that that person is going to pay. And this next door neighbor is not going to pay. So how do they do that? Well, they send in these phalanxes of very tiny, and they are phalanxes, like much like Roman armies, millions, billions, trillions of these nanobots, nanorobots. They send them in phalanxes, and you can actually see drone footage of this sort of embers flying down the roads and attacking various houses and igniting fire there. Sometimes you'll see the blue light of a laser coming from the sky for the ignition of the fire. But the fires are always, as the firemen know, are always microwave fires. These are not typical as they call them, wildfires.
Like that one we saw in Hawaii. Sorry for interrupting, but that one in Hawaii had very Maui strange.
Too. That one too. That was definitely microwaved. So to me, they're microwave fires. And they have various ways of igniting. I mean, you can ignite from the sky, but you know, if you have a big fire like in L.A., much bigger than the Maui fire, because L.A. is just a sprawling hundreds of miles of various little townships, if you're doing that, you're going to need some sort of incendiary on the earth as well. And that's what's been provided partially by the chemtrails, is that one of their favorite chaffs, as the military calls it, is aluminum. And aluminum is very, or I think you say aluminium. I like that way better. It's very incendiary. It gets very hot, and that's what, of course, in Maui they had for that tiny piece that Lahaina is. I used to live in Hawaii. In fact, I graduated from University of Hawaii. So anyway, they're there. You can definitely send an ignition coming from something up in the upper atmosphere, and then you've got all this incendiary stuff down here that, you know, makes a fire that is extraordinary. And so how do you keep the trees from burning when you've got the buildings burning? Well, it's a matter of frequency. You've got the frequency of the buildings, much as they did at 9/11. 9/11 was a fire that also has to do with this technology of the geoengineered fires. That was
directed energy.
Huh?
Are you referring to directed energy?
Oh, yes, because these are directed energy weapons, all of them, no matter how big they are. And then if you have the air completely pregnant with all these incendiary metals, you see where we're going with this. You know, you're not only producing a few degrees of global warming, but you're also you also keep it, you know, we're constantly breathing these metals in, And so they're in our bodies, and they're in the earth. They're in the walls of our homes. They're in our smart cities, the 15-minute cities. So, you know, this is all part of turning us all, and now it's going to be going to sound like I'm jumping off the page here, but it's all part of preparing a world that is not friendly to Homo sapiens, but is
transhumanism
to a transhuman. Yes, and because this preparation we've undergone, and that's pretty much what I write about. In fact, I just had a new article come out. I don't know if you get this magazine in South Africa, but it's from Australia.
I'm not sure.
They asked me to write an article, and I wrote an article called Epigenetic Warfare, How Geoengineering, Nanotech, and Synthetic Biology Are Forging the Transhuman. So we have this, this is happening. And it's been 25 years that we've lived in this this atmosphere and Earth that is slowly being changed by chemicals, electromagnetics, nanotechnology, synthetic biology, and it's coming from the sky. It's right in front of our faces, you know. But we're all still talking about the weather as if they're not controlling it. But they are, and it's a political tool. It's gone so far. I mean, now what are they blaming it with? I think there's a climate change disease. So now you need a vaccination for a climate change disease. Climate change is their term, and not a mention of the military status of this geoengineering. Now they're trying to make it sound, I just learned this from reading something that I normally don't read, they're trying to change what you think of as geoengineering so that it does not include weather modification. Weather modification is something different. That's just local. That is not true. Weather modification is very much a part of the geoengineering. And at the same time, climate modification, climate engineering, because climate is long-term weather. I mean, most people don't, you know, section those things off. Just be aware that by sectioning things off, and it's called in corporate language compartmentalizing, by compartmentalizing things, no one person really knows the extent of what this one part they're working on is having to do with what their cohorts are working on. It's a clever way to control criminal enterprises in the sense of human rights and planetary rights that this is producing, and it's actually now a threat to the long-term existence of Homo sapiens, which is why I'm working pretty much all the time. I gave up a personal life. I don't even know what it is anymore, because we have to work on this ever since the 2020-2024 COVID-19 drama. That put it into the bodies, you see. That's the same stuff that's coming down went into the bodies with more, with a very sophisticated self-assembly technology. Now, that's a key term, self-assembly. This is a nanotech, which means it's very tiny and man-made. Capability of going into the body and replacing our blood vessels, for example, with something synthetic. I mean, you are a father of a little boy. This is key to understand that the generations of being human are now jeopardized, because the human is and has been for 25 years. Various things have come down on us in this epigenetic assault we've undergone, and we've breathed it in and eaten it, and you know, and some people still eat GMO foods. I have no idea why, because The GMO food is made from synthetic seed, folks. That is not real seed. So you basically are a transhuman by now if you've been eating GMOs for 25 years. So, you know, there's things where we've trusted the authority figures, we've trusted the headlines, we've trusted the news shows, and we were wrong to trust them. We were wrong. And now there is an awakening going on in America for sure, but it certainly won't wake everyone up. There's no way. Some people want to be transhumans. They want this enhancement, this so-called. But it's not what you think. They'll never let you be Superman. Whereas for themselves, they will try to eat from that tree of forbidden fruit, and they will see where it ends up. But meanwhile, I want to at least keep a remnant of the true human being, the God-given human being, the divine human being. I want a remnant. I'll be satisfied with a remnant. That's where I'm at now. I used to feel that, you know, we could stop it, but I don't think so. I don't think so now. I think it has to run its course. And we, meanwhile, need to really wake up, learn new languages for what we're seeing, not try to believe the lies that it's just like what we had yesterday. That's over. Yesterday is over. And we are now in a brave new world of things that we now need to learn just the beginning of the language for, so that we can form thoughts and critical thinking about what is going on. This is our challenge. It's like why I've never owned a television and I do not own a cell phone, because I must stay awake. I cannot afford to distract myself with all the gewgaws that, you know, everybody thinks are so, oh, well, you deserve a vacation, Ilana. You deserve a break. And I don't know what they're talking about, because it looks to me like I'm in a big hurry.
The world's a very big place, and this sort of geoengineering is not happening equally across the world. I mean, for example, it seems to be a lot more effective in the U.S. and in many African countries, for example.
Well, I think you're making some assumptions there, that you're not hearing about it from other places because it's mainly happening in America. No, I don't think that's at all it, because if you think about it, you're breathing the atmosphere that this is all going on in. It's like a big balloon that we're in, right? We live in this atmosphere.
Right. And it moves around.
You can't avoid it. And they have control over the winds, over the jet stream, over the electric stream jets. I mean, the ionosphere, I mean, can you get hold of that? They have total control over the ionosphere. That is the big bubble that protects us around the planet. And it was through HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, an amazing ionospheric heater, that they were able to take control of the ionosphere by 2013. So, all this has been silent. It's all been silently done. All the kinks have been getting worked out over time. We've noticed that some geophysicists and biologists have died, and their deaths were strange or suspicious, or it's been endless, because the media is controlled all across the board. So the idea that it can be contained is a fool's paradise. It cannot be contained. And it is now, we have these nanobots. They are in all our bodies. They are in uteruses when babies are born. They're in the placenta. They're in the baby's blood. This is a total assault on the human being and on planet Earth. And planet Earth is sort of it's our beloved. We have been with planet Earth for millions of years in one form or another. So that's why people right away want to jump to, and they're constantly asking me, have you thought about aliens? Have you thought about entities from other planets? Well, I don't have to go out there and find evil. I can find plenty of it right here. So it is very apparent. And I can almost pinpoint exactly when this began. And it began from America with the paperclip Nazis that we
back in the 40s.
Yes, we brought thousands of these very brilliant German and Austrian and who knows what else, Northern European.
What's his name? Werner von Braun.
Yes, Werner von Braun. He was in the rocket program. That was his métier. And he was a hero as a Nazi because he was an SS Nazi. And we didn't care that he was an SS Nazi. We thought that just was a club he belonged to. It had nothing to do with the fact that he'd been through initiation rites that lead you definitely into the precincts of evil. So,
well, NASA is not exactly a squeaky clean anyway.
No. NASA was started by the paperclip Nazis completely. The whole space program was. So, this is something that Americans really don't realize. And when you know these things, you can just follow the trail because the Nazi dream, the Third Reich dream, is continuing in America. It's absolutely doing very, very well here because Americans are primarily programmed now and pretty much useless as thinkers. They're in their feelings, they're in their behaviors, and those feelings and behaviors can now be controlled thanks to the ownership of the ionosphere. They now can be controlled by satellite.
SpaceX.
You hear me say that? I mean, I'm talking about all behavior, all feelings can be controlled by satellite because they don't need to get you into a clinic and make an incision to get to your brain and find out things about you. No, they can do it from satellite. It's very easy now that we are completely wireless civilization. So, these are the sorts of things that I wanted to bring in these books, and I've written four books so far.
Yeah.
And the new one just came out, The Geoengineered Transhuman. It looks like this. A new publisher. They did a very good job. And I realized that I'm saying unbelievable things and that a lot of people just can't wrap their heads around it and really don't want to. Because one of the things that is so wonderful about life is the illusions that we are taught from childhood to believe and our education system is based on. And, it takes a while for you to realize, oh my gosh, these people have been lying to me. Did they know? Well, in most cases, yes, they did know.
Ilana, can I jump in and ask you, Who are the big players? So if we're going back to the 40s, we know that there are obviously the DOD, NASA. You mentioned earlier the pharmaceutical industry. Who are the major players here? And by the way, are they working in competition or in tandem?
Instead of either or, let's learn to think both and. Yeah, they're working in tandem and in competition. But I've been thinking about that particular question. Of course, in every book I've written, I've talked about the what I call the movers and shakers. Now, those are all corporations. Now, whether you're talking about government or economic corporations, they're the same creature. And we even now have a wonderful term in America that people don't seem to be afraid of, which I am. is public-private partnerships.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's technocracy.
Yeah, that's technocracy. So now there really is no difference between the two, other than where it's categorized, and in other words, compartmentalized, so that people can feel, oh well, that's that, and this is different. So when you ask who are the primary players, I have to always say, never forget the dynastic families. Right. Now it's been made fun of, and it's a conspiracy theory, it's a tinfoil hat thing. No, it's not. I'm sorry to say. We're talking
about which families are you referring to like the black nobility and
mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. In Europe it would be the black nobility. Over here it would be Rockefeller and
Rothschild.
And Rothschild. So however you slice it, these and when I learned I had to study Big Pharma in a very unique way. Years ago there was a drama that went on in Belgium regarding a sort of a pimp who was pimping children for rites and rituals going on in castles belonging
to sounds like very, Epstein.
Huh?
Sounds like Epstein.
Yeah, well, it was that generation's Epstein. They're always going to have one for different generations. That was in 1990 or so, around there. Okay, so as I'm reading, I found a really good series on it. The guy did a great job. He had lots of footnotes. I love footnotes. And I followed each footnote. And I went, wait a minute. All these families with these castles where these children were murdered and sacrificed to their disgusting god, they're all in the pharmaceutical industry. Every single one of them. They were all pharmaceutical. And then I got really interested because I already knew about IG Farben and how it came out of World War I, having provided all the chemicals for a terrible chemical warfare where they just buried people in trenches in Northern Europe in these chemical deliveries from these airplanes that were no more than, what, 40, 50 years old at that point. They just killed an entire generation of European youth in that war. That's chemical warfare. And that's when IG Farben came out of that just wealthy beyond belief. It was wealthier than probably 20 or 30 nations put together. I mean, the wealth was staggering. And here, these are the guys that were attending these terrible rituals of killing children and drinking blood and all that old, old, ancient, evil stuff. Here they were. They were engaged in this, I think his name was Dutroux. His name was Mark Dutroux, the Epstein of that era. And he was delivering these children to these castles. So that's when I realized, okay, this is what all those conspiracy theory folks are talking about, like with the black nobility, and the Catholic Church and the Vatican, et cetera. This is the thing that holds these people. Either they really believe it, or they end up in these groups and become part of it, and there's proof that they were there, and then they are blackmailed. However you want to cut that, it is how the corporate world is constructed, and the government world now, right? The government world is the same. So it's a blackmail, and now, of course, the CIA has these amazing drugs made by Big Pharma, like Curare comes to mind because I've been researching it recently. And Curare can make you do whatever you're told to do. So you slip some Curare into some guy's drink at a high-end cocktail party, and suddenly he's molesting and doing horrible things to a child in a bedroom, and pictures are being taken, and film is being taken. So,
It's like MK Ultra.
It's It's the MK Ultra of our age, yes. But MK Ultra used to be where, in order to do that kind of mind control, you had to bring these people into special environments where then you could take their picture, right. And they would do things. Now they can take your picture anywhere. I mean, from space, you know, it's a different thing now, but it's, you're right to bring it up. It's absolutely everywhere. So,
I'm so sorry. Please go on.
No, it's all right. Because all I was going to say is that if people wonder why the pedophile thing is so big, this is why. Because the control over the CEOs, et cetera, of large corporations is essential. They want, it's the old Mephistopheles signing Faust in blood thing. Instead of signing in blood that you are now a key card member of evil, you now have your picture taken and they control your career for the rest of your life.
It's all connected, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's all connected because it's the same MO, the modus operandi. It's the same thing. You know, evil is as evil does. And now we have even victims coming forward. They're not trying to prevent these victims from coming forward. They think, you know, it's salacious. It's like a nice distraction for people that, you know, they're hearing about all this evil of this poor child who suffered. And meanwhile, that's the attention they're not paying to geoengineering. That's the attention they're not paying to how the banking industry is really done through these dynastic families. So let's just keep that in mind. Dynastic families, corporations, governments like corporations, and finally you've got these wonderful methodologies that will put a guy in your pocket for the rest of his life.
It sounds very dark, almost like there's no escape. And you said earlier, you kind of think it will just play itself out, but.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Sorry. You were suggesting that perhaps that is what might happen, is that it will play itself out. Or is there a way, what I'm asking is there a way of pushing back? Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes, there is, but it requires that we actually take responsibility. And right. and this is what almost hardly anyone wants to do. They don't want to take responsibility. They want to have someone to blame, you know, hang him by the neck, or, you know, stick him in prison or make him pay a bazillion dollars. But it's all about, I'm 77 years old now. And I came of age in the 60s, we knew the establishment was crooked then. We knew it. We'd gone through Kennedy's assassination, Martin Luther King's assassination, Robert Kennedy's assassination, Malcolm X's assassination. We knew that the entire edifice was controlled. So what did we do? Well, some of us opted to take the CIA's drugs that they were pandering in the streets, bad drugs, in fact, laced with all sorts of terrible things. And they lost their lives following the wrong trail through the woods. But others of us studied and had long conversations into the night as we used our intelligence to really break down what had happened in America. And we, you know, even discovered the paperclip connection at that time. So you know, the ability to discern what is going on, you generally, and this is the path I took. I don't know, maybe I could have married one of those rich men that wanted to marry me and you know, and I'd live happily ever after in some suburb somewhere. Maybe that would have been a good idea. But I had a theory that, no, if you get too comfortable and you've been bought off by comfort and convenience to too much, you will be useless in the struggle to retain the good in the world. And now I realize it also is to retain the real human being in the world. And so I chose to live sort of on the edge. I'm sure that, you know, I could have done a better job of that. But I knew that we needed to really become conscious of the situation, and that we couldn't do that by taking, you know, great courses at Harvard or Yale. We couldn't do it by working at Microsoft. We had to live close to the edge, where we could feel the pain of making your own living and trying to think your way into some sort of solutions that seemed impossible at that time. And that's the path I took, and I have never been sorry. I mean, I have had immense adventures, as you can possibly imagine, when you're a truth lover and you're willing to take risks. Oh my gosh, you are going to have an amazing life.
I think what I was trying to do is pin you down on some actual strategies that are tangible.
I have strategies. All right. So the first one, and we're not going forever here, I realize. The first one I recommend to people always, and I'm writing another book now. I'm writing a book for my new publisher, Inner Traditions, the ones who came out with this latest book. This one will be on synthetic biology, and it will be a critique of the medical and big pharma industries, and why you should not do them anymore. I have not been to a doctor since I was 13. So what have I been doing? Faith healing?
What?
No, I have not been to a doctor since I was 13. I do not trust them. At 13, a doctor decided that I had to have my appendix out because I was complaining of a side ache that kept me from going to school, when the truth is I didn't want to go to school. So I had made the entire thing up. I realize he knew that, but he knew I would not confess, and he took advantage of me. And I thought, okay, that's doctors. That's how they run their business. I get it. That's why they're all rich. So that in itself is important, that you get to where... Then I studied Chinese medicine in my 20s. So I prepared myself with a very brilliant 5,000-year-old medical system based on real simple stuff, yin-yang, based on acid alkaline, based on balance. And that did me well through three children who never went to doctors. So, all right. So I recommend to people, so that's a big leap. I know that. And I get to that in this book. But the first thing you can do is examine your lifestyle. How much electromagnetic do you have around you all the time? How close are you to 5G and 6G? How close are you to these big, I think you call them masts, these big towers that are microwave towers for so-called cell phone receptivity, which is not at all what they're about, and they're much more than that. So you want to really look at the electromagnetic footprint that you're leaving in your house, your work life. Why do I not own a TV? Well, there are many more reasons than that it's electromagnetic, but certainly that it is electromagnetic is a reason not to own it. So I do own my computer, this little laptop, and because I'm a writer and a researcher and I need to have access. So it isn't that I'm a Luddite. I'm not a Luddite. I have full spectrum bulbs. I do not use LEDs. They will destroy your retina and kill you meanwhile. So no LEDs for me, but I have full spectrum lights. I have 60 hertz in the walls. You have probably 50 hertz. And I never forget that I have that there. It is an energy contrivance that can be used by the bad guys if they want to take me out. I have been hit electromagnetically with weapons because of what I write. I'm still alive, so I feel like maybe I'm doing them a favor by telling you all this truth that they think you'll do nothing about. I don't know, but I keep going. Electromagnetically, you should learn about nanotechnology and how it's being now found in live blood analysis groups by doctors and medical researchers, been found to be in our blood. And so we need to know that. We need to know that we can be gotten to through the electromagnetic technology that's already in us. And that sort of thing, that's the first thing. Because when I look at the entire scenario, and this is how I end this new book with the insight that, wow, every single thing I have talked about that has to do with running this technology is electromagnetic. So electromagnetism is the name of the game for the system that we are now confronting, which I call the HARP system, which is the beginning with the ionospheric heaters and going down to a tremendous infrastructure down here, owned the patents of which are owned by Lockheed Martin, to control us through carefully calibrated frequencies that would include radar installations, cell phone towers, fiber optics under the ground, everything you can think of that is electromagnetic can be manipulated centrally or in this infrastructure, because they have the frequencies for all these things and you don't. Like your smart meter, it's now being thought that the smart meters were involved in Maui, the fire in Maui, and the fires in Los Angeles recently, that you can affect those smart meters to ignite fires. So I'm tired of hearing people say, but I didn't like science in high school. Well, I don't really care if you didn't like science in high school. What I care about is, are you an adult? Are you willing to become an adult and not a pampered sellout to all the conveniences and distractions that you're being offered as a way of controlling you? That's what I want to know.
There's a lot going on. But for now, Ilana, what is the most effective way to follow your work?
For my work, here I am writing books, one after the other. Very big surprise to me that I've found this many levels to go to in my studies, because I'm writing for the future. I'm writing for the people 50 years down the road who wonder, why in the hell didn't they do anything back then? Well, here's the story. This is what was going on. The level of ignorance that has been programmed into people as being okay, leaving everything to the PhDs and the experts
academia.
For one thing, most PhD programs are just loaded with lies. And anyone who's gone through one knows that. Who can think, we have to really realize that there's something lazy in the human being that wants to take the easy road, or we're told it's more practical. But it's really about what it's going to take from our personal life, because we idealize the personal life as being something. It is valuable. I want a good relationship with myself. Because it's me, myself, and I who are doing everything here. I'm a one-woman band. So, yes, but is it the really important thing? Take a vacation, you need a vacation. Is that really the important thing to do here? I'm living in my time because I believe, I'm a student of Rudolf Steiner, I believe I chose to come at this time. And there are multiple reasons now that I, at 77, see why I came now, and can use the wonderful intelligence that I have, and the ability to discipline myself, the wonderful discipline that can bring out books like the ones I write. So get my books from, you can get it from Evil Amazon, but you can also order them through bookstores, particularly this one, The Geoengineered Transhuman. You can probably order it in South Africa in a bookstore.
It's generally easier to use Evil Amazon because they travel to the African dark continent.
Yes, you have to make your own decisions because you know your nation the best. But yes, bookstores should have it. This company that's doing the book is worldwide. So, or, you know, you can always write my friend Frank Dauenhauer at the Rudolf Steiner Bookstore in Seattle, Washington, and get the books from him, and he'll you'll pay the shipping. So that's what I recommend.
On that note, Ilana Freeland, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you so much. And I really support your lifestyle in South Africa.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this, please visit germwarfare.com.